Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Dual Screens Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Stephen Fontana, and with me, he's my brethren from another methren. He's Andy Esimakis. How are you doing, buddy?
I had a mini heart attack just now.
Why?
I glanced over at my trending and my Twitter.
Oh, no.
Bloody Roar is trending, and also North Korea. So I don't know what's going on.
Oh, Lord. It is never good when North Korea is trending.
If I wanted to pursue.
Nothing ever. Nothing good. Welcome, everyone, to the Dual Screens Podcast, where we are terrified when North Korea is in Twitter. Joining us this week is Yahya Danbus, creator of Luminous Realms, an agile action RPG where you'll fight hordes of monsters, level up your skills, meet curious characters, and put an end to the darkness brought forth by the evil Overlord. I almost got through that without hitches, Andy. Yahya,
so good.
Yahya, welcome to the show. How you doing, man?
Doing good. How are you guys doing?
Oh, you know, hanging in there. It's Tuesday night here. It's Wednesday morning there. So you're up bright and early, yeah. Bushy-tailed. Going to talk about video games with us idiots here. You're in Japan, is that right?
Japan.
Here, Japan, Tokyo.
Tokyo, Japan, man.
I miss it so much.
What do you miss? You never lived there.
I've been there three times.
Yeah,
for
right.
Like, well, you've been nearly there. Yeah, I miss it. I can't miss it.
I miss Disney World.
Cool.
All right. Yeah, that
works. I miss it.
When we talk about that, you can miss it.
Those 3 days. I guess. So anyway, wow, let's get this back on track because I'm already old. You got me all flustered, Andy. Mm-hmm. You know, Andy, you're looking fresh today, I will say.
Oh, my God. I got a haircut.
Yeah, I could tell.
It always does it for me.
Yeah, you do. You look fresh.
It like takes 20 pounds off my face. Because I only shave once every 2 months.
Sure.
I get a haircut.
Sure. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Dual Screens Podcast, the internet's number one in indie gaming interview podcast. Wow, I haven't done one of these in like 3 weeks.
I believe in you.
Hosted by two people you've never heard of, probably. You can find the show on youtube.com/dualscreenstv. Of course, you can find it also on your favorite podcast service of choice, including our home Podbean. And if you like us, consider giving us a dollar on Patreon, you know, just a dollar, just one old dollary do. But if not, if you like us only a little bit, not a dollar enough much, just hit subscribe, share it with your friends, leave a comment, all that fun stuff. We love it. And it helps us grow and helps everybody be happy and all that fun stuff, exclusively Andy and I. Yahya, what's going on, man? How are you? Tell us a little bit. Why don't you give us the elevator pitch? What are we talking about with Luminous Realms? I know I gave a little synopsis, but what from your words, from your mouth?
We stole his words, so
it's well, we stole the Steam thing.
Correct.
But that really doesn't do it justice.
Yeah, no, that thing I wrote like last year, just because I had to write something. So as you've probably noticed, it's very generic. So because at the time I just hadn't decided on the whole story yet, so I just got to put something in there. Yeah, but basically the concept, like I can't talk much about the story yet because I'm still developing that. But the concept of the game is like it takes a lot of influence from Kingdom Hearts. It's like my childhood like game where I just kept playing it so much when I was a kid and still playing it these days. Although I don't know about the new games so much, but I really love the old ones. And that's kind of a huge inspiration where I love the PS2 era ones with Kingdom Hearts 1 and 2. And I felt like there's also like, there's just no other, like, the genre has not existed yet. Like there's Dark Souls and now Souls-like games. And there's Metroidvania and Castlevania, and then we have Metroidvania games. But there's no Hearts-like games. And I've always wanted to see someone attempt to make that style of game as well. And so that's what I'm basically trying to do. And what I'm doing is combining both the 3D platforming of Kingdom Hearts 1, because they really focus on that, which is also like Mario 64 inspiration, and the action RPG combat system from Kingdom Hearts 2, which was like when they really perfected it, I think. It kind of went off the rails with Kingdom Hearts 3. But so I think combining those two will really shape into an interesting game. And that was just a huge inspiration for my game.
So,
and I'm still developing like the whole concepts of you know, the story and the world and how things come together.
Yes. Right now, this is just the baby. Like, this is barely, you know, it's sitting there. It's growing in the womb. It's really not a completed product. But when you're developing this and you say, you know, there's no hearts likes, what makes a hearts like? Like, how do you define what that is?
Right. Yeah. So when I first started the project, I wasn't quite sure. Like, I used to think, like, why has no one made this kind of game? And like, it doesn't look too hard to make. I mean, any game is hard to make, but I was like, I could pull it off. But then after working on it for over a year now, I really realized, like, okay, depth in this game is unbelievable. I understand why other people have been a bit afraid to tackle this kind of project. And like, what really makes it, I would say, is most action RPGs or just action games, action adventures, they don't do much platforming or RPG mechanics, well, except for the action RPGs, but they don't do platforming. It's always, if it's action RPG, it's mostly like you move and then you fight. And maybe if it's like Devil May Cry, which is more an action adventure, I would say, or hack and slash, those you would have like more air combat, but then that's just like, I haven't really played so much of the recent ones, but I'm not sure there's like more RPG focused. I think it's more like adventure, action adventure. But that, and also the deep like RPG combat system, and with it having also like a huge emphasis on the combo systems and it being like more flexible. It's not just like one combo style and you just like choose the combos. No, it's more like it's this auto combo system that you can pre-prepare like in your menu, choose which one abilities you want to use depending on the battle and stuff. And there's no like one answer to describe a hearts like, except for like, hey, it's like Kingdom Hearts. But then those are kind of the systems where that came together in this game that makes it so unique from any other game.
Mm. One of the unique things, like when I was a kid and Kingdom Hearts was like the thing, the thing that really set it apart was that you had these two worlds mixing together. And I never really thought of it as the childlike, like all the Disney games we grew up with were platforming games. Like they pretty much all were that. And yep, they translated that into the 3D realm, but then melded it with this Final Fantasy world, which is all about combat. It's all about strategy. It's all about storytelling. It's all about that long form Shakespearean drama, as it were. And I think to me, that's kind of what makes a hearts like, if we're going to say it in that aspect. It's taking the childlike wonder and the childlike aspects of gaming and storytelling, and then melding it with more adult themes and gameplay styles. And I didn't play Kingdom Hearts 3. I was a 1 and 2 were the only ones that I, you know, got through. I think I played the one of the 3DS ones or something. But, you know, seeing this, it obviously it opened your eyes and you start to think, oh, this is exactly what, I mean, you even got a Keyblade in here in your video that people are watching the B-roll here. I mean, that's what it looks like.
Yeah, I'll be changing that. I'll be changing that.
Though. Yeah, that's yeah, like... yeah.
Old stuff.
Yeah. So talk a little bit about that aspect, about, you know, the things that you are going to change, the things that you have been learning as you're going along to make it stand out from a Kingdom Hearts. Because like when people look at this, when we looked at this, we said, oh, snap, like this is clearly not, I would say it's above being inspired by. Like this is a little bit on the edge of, oh, this is a little on the nose. Obviously, it's very early, so you were drawing from your inspiration. So tell us a little bit about the things that you're going to be changing from and what you're going to be adding of your own to the hearts like.
Yeah, so firstly, like as you were mentioning about the weapon, I designed that like last year and I was trying to go for something, you know, iconic like the Keyblade, but maybe I went too close. And yeah, moving forward, I'll be taking some more inspiration from other things. So yeah, that one is just like a leftover old temporary thing. But as you were saying, still a very early development in the game. You could say it's around like 5 to 10% of development done. Okay. So it's, yeah, still quite far. But yeah, like basically, indeed, I used to think like what made a Kingdom Hearts game was the Disney and Final Fantasy coming together and this like unique story. But that's from the story aspect. And with video games, it's like a story or graphics can enhance a game, but it cannot fix a broken gameplay. So unless the gameplay is really good as well, these two things can't like fix it. And we've seen that with plenty of games that have come out in recent years. So that's like one thing I used to think was just the story that was so unique at what that made people play it. But that was more of an initial push. Like if you see still now, like there's still a lot of people playing Kingdom Hearts 1 and 2, especially 2, streamers and like YouTubers. There's a whole community around those games and content creators, because the gameplay is just so addictive and like so, like I don't know, it's just so many, like you can play in any play style you want to play in, and like they keep finding new depths to the gameplay.
There's a lot of variety in the combat.
Yes, totally. And what's really cool, like whether you are a pro in the game or whether you are just like starting like a beginner, game really is good at making you feel really cool just by pressing one button. It's not a button masher. That's what most people might think when they first start the game, but it can give you that feeling because it has this whole auto combat system. But then as you go deeper into the game, and like that's why there's also other difficulty settings, which don't just make the game more difficult, but actually adds more challenge, like with other kind of systems. That like really, like if you watch the proud mode, they call it, of Kingdom Hearts 2, that's the highest difficulty. That like, just look at any gameplay of that, or people like trying to speedrun it or play it. It really shows you like a totally different image of like how this game can be played when you're really like maxed out with the abilities and stuff, like with your own like playing abilities. And I think that's really like a big part of the game, where the depth of the like combo system and the combat, and also the party system, like that's a whole other thing too, where we haven't really seen many games like that at the time. We've since seen some, like, yes, RPG games have party characters, but not in the way where they're action, like just no, what do you call it? It's not turn-based, it's not like that. They're actually fully real-time fighting with you. And you can also select, I don't know if you've seen, there's a whole party menu where you can select how they react depending on like combat. And then
you can kind of like mess with like their AI a little bit. Like you can mess with their commands, how they're going to do. Aside from like telling them at the moment, use this ability, you could say, hey, you know, you focus on healing, you focus on spell casting, I'll focus on the damage kind of thing.
Yes, totally.
We saw that a lot with Final Fantasy 12, I think, right, Andy? It was with the Gambit system, where you could almost just make the game play itself. They took it way hard in that direction. Like they were like, no, you could actually tell everything you want this character to do in the entire game, and it would just play itself. You could just put the controller down and walk
away. It like taught you to program a little bit.
Yeah, it did.
You're stringing commands together.
If this, then that, then could, this, then that, then this, then that.
Uh-huh.
Loop.
Yeah,
just autopilot.
Exactly. And as you were saying, like it is a little bit too close on the edge. I do agree with that. And I have been working on like getting more just work, like you could say the first year I just spent around like playing around with the whole design. I didn't want to spend too much time at the beginning like trying to go in a unique direction. So that's why many of the earlier tweets you may see, and even now still some remnants of the game, are quite close to Kingdom Hearts. But that's kind of like, I want to start with a template, you could say. And then from there on, go more unique. And like come with, like I've already come up with a whole different kind of story, which you could say is one big part of what makes Kingdom Hearts Kingdom Hearts. But also like the combat will be, well, actually combat, yeah. I would say the combat and the platforming, that's the things that will be the closest things. And you could see them as like how Souls-like games are. But the visuals, the character designs, I've started working with an artist where hopefully we'll be creating like a unique style that will have its own charm as well to it. And in terms of story, in Kingdom Hearts, you do find it more, how do you say, it tries to sometimes go quite serious, but then it brings in more of the comedy and like lightheartedness with the whole Disney stuff and Goofy and Donald, which I like, I'm a big fan of the whole style of it. But with my game, the way I'm designing the story, I want to bring it out from my experiences in life and like my style. And that one goes a bit more like more serious tone and less like flimsical. And there will be more darker like themes. So that, like, once I shape that and put it in the game, it will show quite like visually, and yeah, you'll feel much more of a difference at that point, where it's like, okay, you can see the difference, like big difference of how the mood and style is.
Now, do you plan on making your plot as ridiculous, or if not more so, than Kingdom Hearts?
No,
because I think absolutely that's what that's what a Hearts like should be.
Yeah.
If you can't explain the plot to me like in two sentences, I think
if you can't fit,
I think you're on the right path.
If you can't fit the title of your game on one in one sentence,
I think what has to happen is, years from now, if a 6-hour YouTube essay is explaining Act One of your game,
yeah,
you've done it right.
Yeah, there you go.
That's it. How it has to
nailed
be.
It.
Yeah, I mean, definitely, like, I mean, yeah, I don't want to go down that same road, but also, like, one thing I noticed, like, if you look at Kingdom Hearts 1 just at its own, the story is not too crazy. It's pretty simple, has a start, has an end. The end is not the complete, like, finale. There's a bit of, like, a, what do you call it, cliffhanger. Mm. But as a story, it comes together in the end properly. Not too many like plot holes, not too many confusing parts. It goes a bit like different. It goes a bit like, what do you call it? Just off the rails.
Explain it.
Yeah.
It's pretty simple. In the beginning, yeah, Kingdom Hearts 1, it's simple. Evil guy, good guy, just a bunch of few characters. But then
stuff with hearts and losing hearts and souls and bodies going without the hearts and getting the heart back.
Yeah, that's what Kingdom Hearts 2. that's where it becomes crazy.
Yeah,
and I think that's an important point to note. Like with movies, or like, I mean, books, the writer usually, he has, even if he has a bunch of different books he's releasing, he has one story to tell, and he's just trying to release it, you know. But what happens with sometimes with game projects, because they're not made with one person, it's a big company. So they make a story and they hope there could be a sequel, but they never know. That's up to the business guys if the game doesn't good enough. And so I think that's a big, like, what do you call it? Like side effect of that, where every time they tried to kind of have it, like not every time, the first time they tried to have just a story, because they didn't know if this would ever even succeed. But then afterwards, they're like, okay, let's just keep going. And then they just kept going deeper and deeper with the story and with things they haven't planned from the beginning. And like Nomura himself said in interviews, where he had the plot of like the future games, he was just making them up, coming up with them just before each game. Like he had the plot of Kingdom Hearts 2 kind of in his mind in Kingdom Hearts 1. But then all the future ones, not even think about it. No Xehanort, no like just 13 hearts, like what do you call it?
Oh, darkness, good lord.
7 lights. That all came like 10 years later. So that's, I think, the main issue. And for my game, I do not plan to like do necessary sequels. I have one small, simple story to tell. The game won't also like be 30 hours. Might just be like 4-6 hours. I don't know. We'll see. I mean, I'm an indie. I can't make a huge long game. But I think there's a charm to that too, where it's simple, concise. It's going to be a story about like 2 or 3 characters. Doesn't go too complex. And yeah, it'll be like hopefully an interesting ending in the end.
Huh. Why? I'm just curious. Why did you make this? Why are you making this? Because, if you know, I love games, and there's games that I miss that I wish would come back. And you're actually doing the thing. Like, you're like, I need something that plays like Kingdom Hearts PS2. And you're making it. And I'm looking at the video, and it's like watching like an early tech demo for Kingdom Hearts 1 or 2 on PlayStation 2. It's unreal. What put you on the path?
Unreal Engine.
What put you on the path to like actually start putting this thing together?
So basically, around a year ago, my previous project, I was working on the side. So basically, Luminous Realms is a game I'm working on the side. I have a full-time job also working in game developer. So previously, my side project was a VR game that I was working on with my friend. And when that finished, that was around January last year, I want to get back to non-VR games. And I was throwing around some ideas. I had one idea for that I started working on that was like kind of a, it was going to be like third person action, but it was going to be more journey with like classical music. But as I was developing it, like my wife was telling me, like, what is it actually you want to make? Because at the time I was kind of thinking, okay, I want to make a game, but like also thinking about the whole, like would this sell, would this not sell, would people like this and not like this, which is not a bad thing to think about, but maybe not at the conceptual phase, like should be more creative at that point. And that's when she said, you know, what do you want to actually make? And I was like, ah, I just want to make a Kingdom Hearts game and specifically those old style. So she's like, yeah, just do that, you know, like try see where it goes. And so I started just playing around with different designs and different ideas. And yeah, I started to develop it, and within a month I had like a small prototype, and I was like, okay, this is really fun to make, and I'm really enjoying the result. And so I started to push forward to actually make this into reality. And as I was mentioning earlier, like Square Enix, like they had this style that they did with Kingdom Hearts 1 and 2. And actually internally what happened is after 2, the team for Kingdom Hearts 2 was the same as Kingdom Hearts 1. But after that, they got busy with different projects, and Kingdom Hearts, like the main line, was kind of put on hold because they were busy with Versus 13, especially with Tetsuya Nomura. And that was an amazing project, wasn't it? but
I
afterwards,
love Final Fantasy 15.
yeah,
I like 15,
I would
but I
like
would
to
have
I
loved
would
to
like to
see
see the two
Versus
versions before.
13.
Yeah,
Yes,
exactly.
exactly.
15 years later.
Yeah.
Yeah. So at that point, like the team kind of scrambled, like it no longer existed. There were different projects and stuff. And so when they came back to make Kingdom Hearts 3, at that point, there was a team that had made the PSP version. And that had, if you've played that, it was quite different kind of gameplay. And not just like the like whole combo, like combat system, but also just the movement system, how it feels, how it like plays, the speed and stuff. And so that was the team that actually ended up making Kingdom Hearts 3. And so it was a completely different team, completely different vibe. And so this is why there's a huge difference in the gameplay. And it seems like they don't are not really interested to go back to that style, because any like six, what do you call it? Any game afterwards just didn't really follow that style of gameplay with Kingdom Hearts 2. It's like much more snappy, for example. Many people, you'll hear them talking about Kingdom Hearts 3, saying it's floaty. And also, yeah, Sora just flies easily. Like you just hit one like action command, and if it's an enemy in the air, he just flies it to him and starts to like go crazy. And it's cool. It's very like, what do you call, spectacular,
Very flashy, yeah.
very flashy.
No substance.
But yeah, but if you want to go more like play the game deeper, it has some depth, but like it's missing a lot, and which is why they actually released a whole DLC to fix it. And they added some like extra changes to that made like it was strange. Like they were like, you know what, we can figure it out. We're just gonna give you all these settings that you guys can like turn on and off, like with the whole gameplay, and then you guys make your own gameplay. And then I was like, okay. And they charged money for that, so
Oh, Square.
yeah.
No, it's
And it
amazing.
seems, yeah.
There was a time where like Sephiroth in Kingdom Hearts, I think it was part two, was like the pinnacle of like the hardest bosses ever conceived in a video game. And then
It's cross slash, man.
part three came along, and I was like, this game isn't hard, like in any way, shape, or form. What the
Yeah.
fuck happened?
Yeah. And just the most basic things. No Sephiroth, which was in every mainline game. No Colosseum. No Olympus Colosseum, which is such, from a game developer standpoint, such an easy way to add more content. You already have all the enemies. You just put them in one place, and in this like tournament. It doesn't make sense. What were you guys doing?
That being said, are we gonna have a Coliseum?
Yes, absolutely.
All right, there you go.
Not in the
not traditional style, sense, but yes.
Of course, yeah.
So,
is there Sephiroth?
Is Sephiroth in your game? did you weasel that one? Okay. No. Serious question.
I have Felix the Cat.
Yeah, that's what I like to see.
Nah.
Serious question though. You sit at your computer. You have a blank screen, and your wife has told you, then make your Kingdom Hearts game. And you said you built a prototype. What is the first thing you have to make when you're sitting at your computer with a blank? You said it was an Unreal, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
What's the first thing you're like, this is what I'm going to make to see. This is the first thing I'm going to do that makes it a Kingdom Hearts-like?
The movement system. Okay. Which is the first aspect, the 3D platforming. By default, Unreal Engine comes with a third-person template, but that one does not play like a platformer. And I tweaked with the settings, added some different abilities to get that whole feeling of, all right, yeah, this feels like Mario 64, but you're playing with a more like RPG-like character. And that was the first thing I did. And actually, you can see that in my first devlog, where I talk about the whole process where I was looking both at Kingdom Hearts and my game, and how the movement should go, speed, the gravity, all that. It was just researching every part of it to get that feel in it.
That is insane to me.
Is it really?
You're studying the... Because, again, I'm watching how the camera moves and the character moves and the slashing animation. And it's like, you must have stared at that at Sora doing shit for the longest time to get it just right. Yeah, it shows.
Yeah, pretty much.
Even in a prototype. Your little Sora wannabe guy. I love him so much. Does he have a name, by the way, this little guy you got going here?
This one is just like a placeholder 3D model I got online. Mm-hmm. I am, like I said, currently working on it with an artist to design an original character. But yeah, for now, his name is Faris. I previously said it was Akira, but actually in recent story changes, I named him Faris, which is an Arabic word. It means like a knight. And that may have some meaning to it. I don't know, but I like the name.
Knights like nighttime, or knight like the military.
A warrior knight.
Like a warrior knight.
Yes, a warrior knight.
Warrior knight. Okay.
Yes, like specifically people like the warriors that with the horses, that ride the horses. Okay. And with my new story, it will have some like influence of like Middle Eastern influence for the character and where he comes from. That draws a lot of inspiration from the things like the people I grew up around and our culture, but that will be his own home world. And as the title said, hints at, like realms, there will be realms he'll be visiting, which will have also inspiration from different countries that I've lived in, because I'm originally Iraqi, but I was born in Germany, lived there for a few years, then moved to Dubai, where I lived most of my life in, and now I'm in Japan. And I've also traveled to different countries around the world and have huge love for history. And so it will be drawing a lot of inspiration from different cultures and eras in history into those different realms you'll be visiting.
I love that, because it's like, you know, Kingdom Hearts, it's a Japanese lens, but there's the Disney layer that they're looking through to that as well. So it's like you're adding your perspective. So it's like there's this lens looking at that lens through that lens, and it just adds more layers to this whole
kaleidoscope.
I love it. Yeah, I love it so much. How much time do you spend a day on this thing? Like, what's your how do you balance your full-time job and making your little passion project come to life?
I would say around 2 to 2.5 hours a day, like actually sitting on the computer working on the game, or like also doing some social media stuff or the video editing. And usually I do that in the mornings. One reason I wake up so early at 4 a.m. It's also our prayer time for the morning, so that's why. But then also from there on, I just start my day and work 2 to 2.5 hours on the project. And then I start preparing for my day job that then I go to. And yeah, that's pretty much how it works. And on the weekend, I have all morning of Saturday and Sunday, which I also spend time working on the game. And that's pretty much how my schedule works for now. And I have considered going full time, but first of all, like, it's too risky. I don't have the money. And also, it's the risk part. Like, I don't know. We'll see as we go. I'm considering Kickstarter. I'm considering also maybe a publisher. But like, for me personally, to go full time, it's too risky. Cause like, let's say the game releases and then boom, flops. I'm out of a job. I'm out of like money. That's too risky for me, especially for like first time making my solo game. So I might get some funding, but it would be only to maybe hire people to help me with more stuff like the art, animation, and all the other things. But yeah, for now, like, I want to stay in the safe route.
You could just blame your wife if it flops. Just be like, this is all your idea.
You said you to
me,
do it.
You told me to do this.
You said just make Kingdom Hearts like it was going to be easy. You said people wanted this.
Yeah, but I mean, I trust her like advice because she's actually, we got married 3 years ago.
I mean, look at this thing.
And she is like a content creator. She actually has like 2 YouTube channels with like,
holy
like,
shit,
total of 200,000 subs. And
damn.
She has like a own webtoon. She's like a manga artist. Like actually,
does she have any advice? She got
her own manga and stuff.
You could listen.
What the?
Yeah.
All right.
quit your job. You're good.
No, I trust.
You got the YouTube. Those YouTube checks coming in.
And they don't pay that much.
You can sell the silver play button if you're hard on, you know, if you can't pay the bills.
Exactly. There you go.
Yeah. But yeah, I trust her advice. And so far, like, yeah, she's taught me a lot about even the YouTube thing. Like, I wouldn't have been able to reach like 10,000 K subs. That's not 10,000 K. I mean, 10K subs without her help, like just supporting me and helping me and telling me like, be more yourself when you record. Don't fake.
Never. Yeah.
Does she do consulting work? And we have to.
Through. Shit. We've been unapologetically ourselves for 6 years.
There's another piece of the puzzle that we're missing.
Yeah. Being an attractive woman.
No, she actually she draws show her own face manga in any of her videos.
But people's imaginations. That's what gets it.
I know.
All it takes is a voice.
Nowadays, there's AI.
That's what AI I'm saying. Nowadays, so we gotta throw like a handsome avatar with the hair that goes over the face like that.
Yeah.
Get rid of these ugly neck beards that we carry around and show everybody every week.
Sexy anime chick.
We don't need it to be a sexy anime chick. We could be a sexy anime dude. We could be a furry. I could be
faking. That's the point.
I could be like a lion kind of guy, you know? Like I could do that.
You and the lions, man. There's something.
One word.
We gotta get deep into that at some point.
Yeah, VTuber, exactly. See, the thing about lions are that they're big, powerful, but also lazy, like me. at least the males are lazy, but they act just like cats. Like if you ever just watch them be cats. Yeah. They're just big,
adorable,
giant, dumb cats. Like,
so ridiculous.
Yeah. So they're to me, they're the perfect animal. They're my favorite thing. They're just they're dumb, but smart, like in their own way. Powerful, but you know, stupid little cat animals.
I'm more on the cat side because those are more safer and possible to have at home.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, some people have tigers for pets, right? Like, do you ever see the video? I forget where it was from. I don't think it was
probably
India.
Saudi.
It was Saudi. It was something like that. But this woman grabs a tiger by its scruff. It was the family tiger that got out of their house. Grabbed it by its scruff and is dragging it down the street. There's like surveillance video of this woman just manhandling this tiger, and the tiger's like throwing a temper tantrum, and it's just like, and she's like, just dragging it back to the house because it got out. That is why I like big cats, because they're just cats. At the end of the day, they're just cats. They want to impress you just like a dog, and they'll also eat you if you die in your home. Anyway,
exactly.
Andy, let's transition over to rapid fire. It's time to transition to rapid fire, and then we'll give everybody all the links where they could follow you and all that fun stuff.
It's gonna be great.
Andy, why don't you start us off, Andy?
What is your hot take?
Ooh, what is your hot take?
Give me a hot take.
A hot take.
Hot take.
Ooh, so many to choose from. I don't want to go for the obvious of pineapple on pizza, but
interesting.
Interesting. I'll just go with that. It's fine. It tastes good. Great.
Okay, there you go.
It tastes great, even.
It tastes great.
Oh, I got one. I got one.
Okay.
Oh.
Domino's better than Pizza Hut.
Okay. I'm not going to argue with that. I'm not going to argue with that. But Little Caesars is the superior fast pizza out there in the world. Andy, I know.
Good to know.
Yeah, as long as you know. Would you rather...
Go ahead.
Would you rather... have the power of flight or invisibility?
Flight. Invisibility will still stop you from going places you shouldn't go to. I feel like, yeah.
Plus you'd have to be naked all the time.
Well, we didn't say which part is invisibility. So it could be any of your part of your clothing.
It could be a cloak that you're wearing that makes you invisible.
You're right.
Yeah.
It could be a paint.
I mean, I've seen The Boys, and yeah, that doesn't look like a very useful ability compared to flying.
Not if I had it. I'd make it very useful.
To you, it would be useful.
Care to elaborate?
You don't want to get started.
Steven knows.
None of it is legal.
All right. I mean, with these powers, that's like one thing. I think a lot about like superpowers, and I'm just like, humans wouldn't be able to just like, yeah, no. They think they would do the right thing with it, but we know humans, when they get power, most of the time they just go dark. Yeah.
Correct. Speaking about things that are illegal, your wife gets a phone call in the middle of the night. She gets a phone call.
Okay.
Saying you've been arrested with the authorities, what crime did you commit?
Eating too much sushi.
You didn't leave. You didn't leave. You got a criminal trespassing.
You went to the all-you-can-eat buffet and you wouldn't stop.
And they didn't. And they tried to kick you out because
and you didn't pay.
I was like, no.
I don't know if he skipped out on the bill. He didn't say that. He just said he just said he wouldn't stop.
He brought the to-go containers with him, and they
yelled
at him.
Oh, I see.
That's what he did.
I see.
They'll put you in jail.
You said it's
that.
Bottomless, and then just keep.
Yeah. they're literally fishing in the back to try and keep up. Like,
it's a bottomless pit.
All right, the three archetypes: the fighter, the wizard, and the rogue. Which one is everyone in this conversation?
Oh.
I feel like Andy is the wizard.
Interesting.
Fuck yes.
Interesting.
You are right. You just looked right into my heartless soul.
You would fall so quickly into necromancy. It would be...
Dude, that's something from Baldur's Gate 3. I'm a wizard / necromancer.
Sweet.
I figured as much. Okay.
I'm more of a range.
You're ranged. Mm. Okay. So you could probably you go for the rogue. So I'm just
I actually do archery.
I'm just your
There it is, yeah.
I'm your white meat baby face fighter. I get it.
Yeah, you got the muscles, you got the beard.
See that? I got muscles. He just called me fat because he can't tell that I have muscles under this shirt. Cause I don't I don't have muscles.
Yet.
That's right. I got some resistance bands, bro.
We'll get there.
Getting my gains. Andy, you're up.
God, one time I had that on the hinge. Right in the face. It got me.
Oh, no. No.
Almost took my lower jaw off.
Damn.
Never again.
Never again.
What is a childish thing that you still enjoy doing as a grown-up human being?
Oh, there's so many.
I just asked for one.
Let's see.
Should I ask your wife?
She's busy.
So shit, I can tell you.
Not people, but things everywhere. I still like to touch everything.
Yeah.
Just to see how it feels.
I what love kind how of the preface, not people.
I don't just go around touching people.
Walking around invading people's personal space. Like, you look, ooh, yes. What is this material?
Yes. I'm curious. It's, I don't know. It's, I love doing crafting and I'm just like very curious. I love watching documentaries of how things are made. I used to study mechanical engineering. So I have this like, I want to know how everything like feels, how it works, how it heats up. This is very interesting.
God, going to a museum must be like a nightmare for you. Look at the texture on that sculpture and that painting.
It's like, yeah, I gotta stop myself.
I'm always being stopped by my boyfriend, so I know exactly what it feels like. He's always like, don't touch it. When they get a little too close, he's always like, don't touch it. Like, I'm not gonna touch it. Like, don't fucking touch it.
Okay. All right. What is the most mundane disappointment you have had? Not like a huge groundbreaking disappointment, but one of those like little disappointments that you're just like, that sucked.
Man, like you're really catching me like off
something,
guard with
something
these questions.
You like found out and you're just like, huh, that's disappointing.
He was expecting stuff like, what's your favorite color? What was the last book you read?
Yeah, those are more interesting. Not interesting, easier.
Easier.
I would say. Yes. Let's see. Mundane disappointment.
We get too deep in rapid fire. I hate love it so much. Like, explain the entire Kingdom Hearts story to me in rapid fire. How about that?
I'll give you an example, and it sparked my curiosity or the question. I bought this D100. Show the audience. It is a 100 sided die,
and
my disappointment is that it lands more frequently in between numbers than on the flat surface of the number, and that was very disappointing to me. I was like, man, none of the reviews said that.
Give us a first world problem you had recently in your life.
Mundane disappointment.
Oh, that's an easy way to put it. Yeah. But let's see. I can give you a heavy one though.
We're all about heavy over here.
All right. Weird. So yeah. Investing.
Yes.
Investing. Horrendously disappointing.
Just the way it works in the startup world, where companies would invest money on a product that doesn't exist yet. 5 years later, comes out. Turns out they didn't know what they're doing. Boom, all their money gone. I don't get how that whole thing works with 99% of companies. Like, what?
Says the guy who was going to kickstart his game.
Yeah, that's not investing, though. That's just taking it from different people.
That's just a pyramid scheme. Multi-level
marketing, Steven.
Mighty number nine tiers of the pyramid. We kickstart like three games a week, so don't.
Seriously.
We
almost funded like a game that was like, was it $6,000 or $1,000? Remember that one cat game where like fund the whole game?
Let's fund the whole game. Yeah, I think it was like $1,200.
Like that.
They were like, we need $1,200.
Like, should we do this?
I think we should be the producers of this game.
$1,200, yeah, that's pretty cheap.
It looked like it. It was like a downhill sledding cat Christmas game.
Gold mine.
Yeah, I can already see that not doing too well. Only once a year.
Yeah, they were kickstarting it. They were kickstarting it in February. We're like, oh. What about this? Andy, let's get you to give one more question and then we will bid adieu.
Now, you can't have Disney characters in your game.
Obviously.
But let's say you had a choice of any other intellectual cartoon property.
Hold on.
Or franchise or universe that could fill in the gap for the Mickey Mouse, the Goofy, the
Shrek.
Andy,
yeah,
Shrek is a great answer, but
I was gonna say Nickelodeon,
No, there's a more perfect answer.
Oh, go ahead. Let's hear it.
It's fucking Mickey Mouse. He's public domain. 100 years. True.
Not yet.
It's coming up.
Has it
coming up?
But listen, you're only 5-10% done.
What's your roadmap?
You know what I mean?
I've looked into that, not because I want to put it in, but I just want to see what's going on, because Oswald actually went to public domain from January 1st of this year.
Yes.
No one has done anything.
No one.
Because they're playing it safe, because it's Disney. It's
right.
Disney.
Yeah, you don't want to fuck with that. You don't want to poke
Who's
that.
Who's going to be the first?
Copyright is gone, but trademark is another thing. And it's just like, I think everybody's just looking at each other saying, who's going to be the first to try this out?
Well, they did Winnie the Pooh. Like, that was Disney.
Oh, man.
That's not Disney. That's the original book that got into the public domain. And you can only take from the original book and the design of that. Not the Disney one that was made in the 50s, I would say.
Is that why that horror movie is so terrifying? Because they just look so off-putting.
What is that? Blood and Honey, right?
Blood and Honey.
So good.
Yeah.
I mean, at that point, that one could have just been as a parody. It could have worked any time.
Yeah, it's transformative.
You could make yours a Kingdom Hearts parody.
Yeah. Yeah, could be, but probably not. Yeah.
Bitchy Mouse.
Steven, I just love how it's like your game is just so on the nose. It's on the edge of just being like Kingdom Hearts.
Put Mickey Mouse in there.
So it is exactly on the edge.
We could get Doofy. Perfect. There you go. Gorsh.
Doofy.
Hey there, everyone. It's me. It's Doofy. I got the voices for you. I'm ready, man. Let's do it.
But speaking for real with IPs,
yeah.
I would say not one IP, but it's Shonen Jump.
I'm not familiar. Oh, that's like your Naruto,
Dragon Ball,
those characters.
Oh, like Jump Force.
Publication.
Yes.
Like Jump Force. Okay, yes. That's dope.
Yeah, that would be sick. And actually doing it properly, not like all the other fighting games that came out, but just we're not good. Like Jump Force, not actually going to each world, having a story, having a boss, having a whole overarching story, proper, not just characters finding a reason to fight each other, like.
Yeah,
you're in Japan. Talk to somebody. Yeah, you can make it happen. You know
people.
You know the language.
You said you speak business Japanese.
Yeah, one thing to know about Japan is they are very, 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 very stingy with their their IPs, their intellectual properties. Very difficult to work with, and you can see that by, for example, Toei Animation, how they took all of Totally Not Mark's videos off YouTube just because it's mentioned, like it's videos about Dragon Ball, which is free marketing. They don't understand this. And they just, you guys know him, right? Totally Not Mark.
Mm-hmm.
Steve must know him.
He made videos about Dragon Ball and they were like, this can't be on. You got to get rid of it.
Yes. Close to Christmas, he was about to take his holidays and 150 videos gone off his channel. Like, why?
Just commentary and analysis of Dragon Ball is all he's doing?
Yes. Yes.
And it's gone.
Yeah. He later worked it out where basically it took him so much time, so much work, like that
Holy
caused him
shit.
Like
that was
so
why
much, yeah.
That was why Dragon Ball Abridged or whatever stopped too.
I mean, I know it's like certain companies like, you know, Nintendo like strikes that sort of like fan game that even resembles like Zelda or Mario, like, nope, don't do that. Season desist.
With game companies, not so much, but anime, most of them, or like manga.
Wow.
They are, because they're also the higher ups are in Japan, people live for a long time. So many of the higher ups are still very out of touch with these days.
They just won't die over there. So
we can't. I mean, it's good.
So we can't make it work.
They're very, very healthy. That does have a side effect of like, things just not advancing as fast as they should, and then just not being with the times. And so that's an example of just they don't understand YouTube. They don't understand how it's free marketing. So many of the YouTubers, actually Japanese, if you noticed, if you've seen any of their videos, they don't show any clips. They talk about a game or anime, or they don't show clips. Like
I gotta look into this now. I'm intrigued.
Games is okay to a certain extent.
So Japanese streamers don't exist.
They exist for games. Games is okay. But it's anime, which is just like,
weird.
Which is why, in the end, Totally Not Mark, he did was
weird.
Delisted all his videos on the Japan, like, oh, man. Servers. That's how he got it, like, made it work. Weird. But yeah, it's tough. It's tough.
All right. Speaking of tough.
Oh, yeah.
Yahya.
Yes.
This is now the toughest question you're ever going to be asking your entire life. I hope you're prepared.
All right.
So sit. Get ready. Prepare.
It's simple. Is it okay if I'm standing? Because I'm standing.
You can. You're at a standing desk. That explains it. You're very...
By the way,
goosey-goosey.
Yeah.
At work, I've been doing that lately. I have a little like army standing things. Yeah. Oh, it changed my whole life at work. I just stand all fucking day long. It's the best thing ever.
Yeah.
Why go back down? I like it up here, lording over the office space.
Okay.
It's also because of my back pain and stuff. So yeah.
Yeah. I get you. All right. Here it is. Final question.
Here we go.
Most important question. Here it is. Andy or Steve?
Steve. Because he likes Dragon Ball.
You love to hear it, folks. You love to hear it. You love to see it. If you liked what you heard or watched on with your eyeballs or heard with your ear holes, please consider leaving us a subscription and all that fun stuff. Comment, like the video, like the, you know, whatever, tell your friends. If you want to follow us on social media, we're at @duel_screens. I'm at @badchild27. Andy is at @pantsguy. Yahya, where could everybody find you and Luminous Realms?
Yeah, just search on any social media or YouTube, Yahya Dambos. Probably written somewhere here in the comments or description.
Right underneath your face on the video as
there
well.
You go. Got right little, here.
Little it's floating right under your chin.
Right here.
Yeah, you find me on all the socials with this handle. You can find Luminous Realms on Steam, and you can wish list it from now on. It'll take a few years maybe to come out, but it will help a lot for the algorithm if you wish
we'll
list
touch
it
from base now on. Soon. We'll touch base as you get further down the line. We'll see how you're doing.
Yeah.
And you for know, sure. When you come up with
look
like
forward a, to a big demo.
Yeah.
That's like gonna be a vertical slice, hopefully, next year.
Yeah. When your demo comes out, we'll get you back on. We'll talk about the demo. I think that'd be dope.
Yeah.
I think that'd be
we'll
awesome.
We'll see if Mickey will be there or not.
Say, do you want to come inside my clubhouse? Yeah, let's do it. I think that'd be great. Well, good luck with everything. Good luck with building your dream. Your dream game. We'll be here following you along the way. Thank you, Yahya. Thank you, Andy. Thank you, viewers. Thank you, listeners.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. And as always, please be excellent to each other.